Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. The title appears in varsity letters. Mascots. In a doctor's office, an X-ray of a knee slides onto a light box. A blue-eyed man sits on the exam table.
Okay, let's see what we have.
Yeah.
Well, that is one completely normal knee.
Just stay off of it for a couple of days.
Okay.
Be back to your old self.
So nothing serious?
Nothing serious.
The man wears the bottom half of an octopus costume.
Just a little strain.
A costumed woman stands beside him.
When you go out there, you want to give it your all, but you know, you can go too far, and then you just never know if it's your day. At the game, I could feel that I cranked it coming off the mini tramp, and I knew.
I was at the game, and
you were at the game.
I was.
You're a Herons fan.
Herons all the way.
Wow. All right.
Great work.
Thank you.
Well, she touches the man's face.
I really enjoy it.
What are you doing?
You said a piece of fuzz.
Okay, but you can tell me with your mouth and not your hands.
Okay, well, you can also relax.
Okay.
Just a little bit. For heaven's sake.
Do you prescribe antidepressants?
In full mascot costumes, they dance on the field at South Fork Herons Park, Kansas.
Mascotting is not unlike a marriage in that it's about cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about listening.
Yeah.
Mike and Mindy Murray speak to the camera.
Even if people are screaming at you, you're not allowed to talk. And that's a good lesson for a marriage.
Yeah.
You know? A fun story. Initially, we were going to be Kevin the Killer Whale and Tammy Turtle, but then we discovered that the killer whale is the natural enemy of the turtle.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, they'll just pop them open like a pistachio.
Oh,
and
it's like a special treat for them, yeah.
And they'll toy with them for a half hour and then just, you know, break their necks.
Yeah.
So we had to switch it up.
Sometimes not even to eat them, just for fun.
It's a sadistic thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the few instances of sadism in the animal world. So we thought, well, that doesn't, you know, that's not going to work
for... That doesn't fit.
It's not for the families.
And we don't just work together on the field. We are off the field over at Rhea Perlman Middle School, where we are both teachers.
Yeah. And they say that those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach gym. And those who can't teach gym, teach driver's ed. But joke's on them, because I teach gym and driver's ed.
I teach English.
Yeah. Anaheim, California. A sign on a building reads, 8th World Mascot Association Championships. Langston Aubrey, President, World Mascot Association.
I have been running on fumes. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I think I've had maybe 10 hours sleep this entire week. But it's all going to be worth it the second the first mascot walks through these doors. We give away 3 Fluffy Awards, or as we like to call them, Fluffies. Bronze Fluffy, Silver Fluffy, and Gold Fluffy. And believe me, every mascot knows just how important those awards can be. Because if one of the winners were to sign a major league contract, and it is possible that could happen, they could quite possibly end up making a 6-figure salary by this time next year. Mascots are coming from every place you can imagine. Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Colorado, Oregon, Texas, New Mexico, Georgia, Florida, and then some other states too. Wyoming, Utah, and several countries. This year is especially important because the Gluten-Free Channel is sending 2 executives to watch our show and determine whether or not they want to have it on television. And if that happens, well, it's like a whole new level.
South Croydon, London. A man with center-parted hair and a woman sit on a couch.
Hello, I'm Owen Jolly Jr. I'm a third-generation mascot and butcher. This is my wife, Sarah.
Hello.
Jolly. She's not a junior. If they're going to put it at the bottom of the screen, it reads like Owen Golly Jr. And it's not. It's Jolly. My granddad came up with a little family phrase, which is, golly, gosh no, we're not posh no, we're jolly, as in gay. But it meant... Gay meant something
different
in my granddad's day, which I discovered on my first day of school when I corrected a teacher. My classmates loved that one. So that was my nickname for a bit. Golly the gay, golly gosh gay, gay man golly.
Kids can be cruel.
Kids can be cruel. What with that and me only having one bollock, it's amazing I made it through school at all. Luckily, I could do this.
He shows off his double-jointed elbow. At a soccer game, a hedgehog mascot mimes a kick on the sidelines.
Yeah, so I'm a mascot for Willingham Rovers, a non-league team in South Croydon. Dad was Sid before me, and his dad was Sid before him, so it's a bit of a family tradition.
It's a family tradition.
It's a bit of a legacy. It's not what I dreamed of doing.
Well, yeah, but your dad wouldn't let you get away with not doing it.
No, God, no. He was insistent. Once his knee started going, he was insistent that I took over. I enjoy it. It's fine. It's all a bit of banter. There's the standard. He runs, he kicks. He's got 100 pricks. Sid the Hedgehog, Sid the Hedgehog. There's Sydney has only got one ball. The other is in the Albert Hall, his mother. The dirty bugger cut it off when he was small, which is not factually correct, because my mum didn't cut my bollock off. I lost it in a skateboarding accident.
On the grass outside, Amelia Earhart College for Women, Mississippi.
I'm Cindy Babineau. I'm Alvin the Armadillo, or Armadilla, depending on where you're from. You can say both. I studied music and dance therapy here at the college, and I was a cheerleader in high school, so, but studying dance was really,
She kicks her legs out to the sides.
It was really fun. I love all kinds of dance, and I can hip-hop. I could pop.
Cindy awkwardly executes pop and lock moves. She hunches her shoulders forward.
See, this is Alvin right here. I love him. I love putting on the mask.
Wearing the mask, she does modern dance moves.
Just being inside of him, it's like I can move any way I want. And I love it.
A scarf holds back her bleach blonde hair.
It took me 7.5 years to graduate, but I did. And I lived and breathed my mascot life, like 25-8. I loved it. And I've been doing it for a long time. I went to the Fluffies 5 years ago, and I got honorable mention.
At a basketball game, she dances in the mask.
That means that's like first place, really, but it's a weird first place. And so I'm going to go back again and...
Chewing gum, Cindy strikes a pose in her dance attire, then relaxes.
It could be my last time. You know, this could be my last hurrah.
She widens her stance and extends her arms inelegantly.
My swan song.
A motorhome is parked outside the Blue Lake Mallards Hockey Arena, Manitoba, Canada. Inside, a man sits in the bleachers, Tommy Zook Zuccarello.
My name is Tommy, also known as the Fist. I am the official mascot of the Blue Lake Mallards. A lot of people say I'm the bad boy of sports mascotry. And to be fair, I am currently serving 6 temporary suspensions from different stadiums for some physical incidents that took place between myself and some opposing players and team mascots. I'm also currently serving a lifetime ban from the Calgary Cavaliers for a sexual incident that took place between myself and their team owner's wife.
In a flashback, the giant fist mascot humps a middle-aged woman from behind during a game. In the present, Tommy, wearing a beanie, looks away.
I'm originally from Ireland. My parents founded a religious commune, I suppose you'd call it, a spiritual community called Highway to Heaven, based on the spiritual teachings of Michael Landon in the 1980s TV program. It was around that time that I got into sports mascotry. I started as Kenny the Kangaroo for a local high school football team. And the part of the act that people really responded to was the fighting that Kenny would get into at the end. And so eventually I just cut out the middleman and went straight to the Fist.
He holds up his hand, a Chinese character tattooed on his neck.
Which I think works well, artistically.
Modesto, California. A man drives.
My name is Phil Mayhew. In my pretend life, I am a real estate appraiser. But in my real life, I am Jack the Plumber, official mascot for the Beaumont College football team. It is truly a dream come true for me.
At a football practice at Beaumont College, Phil jogs over to the players, his short-sleeved button-up tucked into his jeans.
Looking good, boys! Looking good! Kirby! What's up, bro?
Hey.
Kirby gives him a reluctant high five.
Boys are looking good. Clements! Clements!
On the field, Clements runs side to side, ignoring him. Phil looks around with his arms folded. Kirby and another player practice throws.
Well, we got the Cougars on Saturday?
That is a tough group of boys. We beat them last time, but you always got to keep your wits about you, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Phil pats Kirby's rear.
See you Saturday.
Hey, come on, man.
Phil falls backwards on the grass.
Who was that guy?
I think the mascot is as important as any member of the team. Because when things are going good, it's easy. But when they're bad,
That's when I come out of the tunnel with a t-shirt cannon or a beach ball, and I'm doing a pratfall, or I'm like pretending to grab the ref's butt and turn it around and acting all coy, and that's when the crowd is starting to laugh and they're starting to get enthusiastic. For me, it is that sound, the sound of that crowd. You can't really hear it inside the head, but you can hear that there is a sound. And for me, the sound of that sound, that is the greatest sound in the world.
In an auditorium.
Well, this is my playground.
Langston leads a man and woman inside.
This right here is where all the mascots are going to be performing. We're going to have a judges table set up right over that way. And then, of course, the audience is over here. 1,000 seats, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if we sell out this year.
Wow. How high is the ceiling?
What do you think? Just guesstimate?
Don't know. I'm not in that business.
Maybe 200 feet?
I'm in the business of it needs to be higher, though. Hello there, I'm Upton French. I'm the program manager at the Gluten Free Channel, which is on your basic tier cable package that runs in over 2 cities nationwide.
The woman sits beside him.
The channel is owned by Panorama Datacom, and I've done a bunch of shows for them, starting with the Sailing Networks, SN1 and 2. SN1 went under, as it were. You may remember it was a live television event. We did Santa's Rockin' Holiday Regatta. And the boat carrying Santa Claus turtled. Santa just went right down. He was gone. And we never really lived down the name, the channel that killed Santa Claus. But I licked my wounds. I just kept going. FRC was next, the Fence and Railing Channel. We did have a very good-looking pole driver on there, a very messy personal life and a terrible driving record, and those things generally play well with women.
We love the bad boys.
Yeah, do you?
We love the bad boys.
Isn't she funny? Anyway, on from there, we went to the Varicose Vein Channel, which I had a big success with. Pulled in some very big numbers on a special I ran called Do the Backs of My Legs Look Like Waffles? That brings me up to the day that I'm at this one here.
Well, I'm Jessica Munt, and I'm a junior executive at the Gluten Free Channel, and I am under this man's wing. He's showing me the ropes. I've never been out and about like this before in the field, so I'm really enjoying it quite a bit. This guy picked me up. I was working at the Elevator Channel. Before that, I was a PA on the hit show Does That Smell Normal?
A couch cushion bears a stain. On a set, a woman bends down to sniff it. A graphic appears in the corner. Does that smell normal? The woman shrugs her brows as a man lowers his face to the stain.
Does this smell normal?
I can't tell.
Really, everybody involved in that production caught my eye because they pulled these incredible numbers out of this very difficult show, and particularly Jessica here.
Lightning in a bottle is what we called it.
There you go.
Tommy's motorhome is parked outside a strip club, Manitoba, Canada. A man with a mullet approaches it.
What is it?
Zook, let's go, man. We gotta get going.
Go away.
We gotta hit the road, man. We gotta do 2,000 miles in 3 days.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I'll drive the first shift, sure.
I've been the bouncer here at Bushwhackers for about a little over 2 years.
Andy Dibble.
I actually met Zook first time. Gosh, it would have been in my hometown. It would have been in Medicine Hat, Alberta. And I was bouncing a place called the Cabbage Patch. And that was kind of a crazy meeting because he actually got into the club dressed as the Fist. And my manager was like, shut it down. And I was like, what? This is too good. So they suspended him for a little while. And he just came back. You know, he came to me and he said, I need a straight man for my act. And I was like, right on, dude. I'm straight and I party. And he goes, well, not like that. You would be in my act as a straight man. He explained it to me and I figured it out. And it's been unbelievable since.
Heathrow Airport, London, England. Carrying a food box, Sarah walks over to a table where Owen sits with an older man with a hairstyle similar to his.
Got what you wanted?
Got what I wanted.
What did you want?
Cotton chips.
Did you get it?
Got cotton chips.
Good.
Nice. Owen Jolly, senior.
Willingham Rovers has been sort of part of my whole life. I pretty much grew up at Peasdale Park. I was probably, just a nipper when I first went to the ground. I used to stand at the Flange Road end behind the goal. And it grew from there, really. And then when I was 16, on my 16th birthday, I've got this.
He lifts his shirt.
You know, the club tattoo is a factory here. And then there's two spoons. And in 1905, the club was formed by the workers at the pudding factory. And they decided they wanted to have a mascot. So they had I think their trial's that next week, and my father, Owen Jolly Senior Senior, got chosen to be Sid the Hedgehog, and that began the, what was really a family dynasty now.
At the Murray house.
All right, guys, we're going to go, 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 go.
Mike, Mindy, and two children leave the house with suitcases.
All right, Monty, we need to step on it, buddy.
Hun, it's fine.
Okay, we are late.
We're really not that late.
Okay, yeah, but I always get chosen for TSA pat-down, so
well,
we need to build
you're very
that.
Tall. It's obnoxious.
Okay.
You fit the lone shooter profile, I think.
Okay.
Will you be careful with these?
What did Dr. Azifi say about hate speech?
In the house, Mike and Mindy sit on a couch, glancing around awkwardly. Mike opens his mouth as if to speak. She looks over at him.
Oh.
They force smiles.
It hasn't always been easy.
Yeah.
You know, like any couple, we have our ups and downs.
It's normal.
Right. And I think what sort of the watchword is with us is commitment.
She nods slowly.
We're committed.
Well, he slept with someone.
She jabs a finger to his chest.
Probably mentioned that.
He smiles stiffly.
Cindy Babineau.
Yeah, Cindy Babineau.
5 years ago at a mascot competition.
At the front of an airport ticketing line, Cindy dances with a woman with long blonde hair.
Can I help who's next? Remember that? That would take Ladies? Ladies? Can I help you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Identification, please.
They sit side by side.
When we were in high school, I got a note. Lacey passed me a note in class, in history class.
Lacey Babineau.
It said, I'm your sister. And I was like, yeah, I'm your sister. Yeah. I love you. Uh-huh. We go to the same church, so I thought it was
sisters in Christ.
Yeah. And she wrote me another note and passed it, the one on football notes. And it said, no, you're really my sister. We have the same daddy.
We do. Our chemicals are the same.
Half of them.
So, apparently, and I found out when I was 16, that my mother, who lives in Electric Mills, had an affair with her daddy, who runs a filling station.
And then we have the same birthday. So that was a weird thing.
You know, when it rains.
Even more personal, it pours.
Right.
Yeah.
It does. Well.
Because later on that year.
They look at each other.
Yeah.
You had your accident.
I had an accident. I had a little dream in my heart of...
Lacey's eyes glisten.
Going to college on a cheerleading scholarship.
Oh, baby.
And I fell.
And she was so good. You were so good.
And I sprained my ankle, and I had to hobble.
And then you couldn't do the pageant, so that was...
Right. It kind of just wiped me out. It wiped me out of pep rallies and homecoming and cheerleading and scholarship and...
She shrugs.
It took away a lot of purpose for me.
But then you had your kids.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I had Ruby and Jamaica. And they're 24 and 22 now, so they're big. They're big girls. And Ruby has a little one, Ruby Jr.
She's a grandma.
I am.
She's a granny.
At Phil's house...
I'm excited to get down to Anaheim because I'm going to be around like-minded people. Because for the most part, all of us are going down there because we have a passion for this craft. It's also another reason that I am excited about going down there. And full disclosure, I reconnected with an old classmate on Facebook. Robin Wexler, the hottest girl at Higbee High School.
A school photo of Robin.
But yeah, she wound up marrying Steve Noonan, captain of the soccer team, for which I was the mascot. And now she is divorced, and her grown son has moved out of the house, and she's living in Orange County, California. So, spoiler alert, we really hit it off on Facebook Messenger. And I have volunteered to perform at a charity event that she's organizing for a group of disadvantaged children. So, I'm excited to get down there.
Anaheim, California. Outside the Las Palmas Inn, a sign reads, Official Hotel of the World Mascot Association. An older man approaches the front desk.
Hello there.
Oh, hello. Welcome, sir.
Lundquist, AJ, should have the John Wayne suite ready.
Okay, we actually have you for the Slim Pickens suite.
I don't think so. I think I'm in the John Wayne suite. I made a reservation. I got a confirmation number right
here. Let me take a look at that.
Sure.
A tall blonde woman walks over.
No, sir. You're actually in the Slim Pickens suite.
Huh.
Let me go
Gabby,
get a picture.
Hey. How you doing?
You? AJ, you keep that name on the tip of my tongue. I'm sorry for all this time.
She hands a paper to the desk agent.
I'm Gabby Monkhouse. I'm in the John Wayne suite.
Oh, all right. 1 minute, Miss Monkhouse.
Gabby and AJ sit next to each other.
I don't think it's overstating anything to say that I was the first female to bring notoriety to our field as Minnie the Moose, the Vernon Community College baseball team's mascot. I once held the splits for the entire length of an extra inning baseball game in spite of excruciating pain and a severe severing of my adductor longus muscle that eventually required 4 hours of surgery and added 2.5 inches to my left leg, forcing me to retire.
She wears one platform shoe and holds up a book.
I wrote a tale documenting that journey. A Moosing Grace, a mascot's journey to God and success in real estate.
The competition judge sets her book down. AJ watches her resentfully, then looks into the camera.
Well, my name is AJ Blomquist, and I'm a former mascot, Danny the Donkey, and I'm a judge this year for the Fluffies. For the two people that don't know, Danny the Donkey, my mascot, alter ego, was the first one to have an anatomically correct costume.
A long black bar covers Danny the Donkey's privates.
That lasted all of one game, caused a lot of controversy, but I have a lot of fans in Mexico, south of the border, Tasmania, Finland, and I've had a lot of personal growth. I see my role in the controversy that was involved in that, you know, not just the costume that I designed and went out one day onto the field with, but, you know, the muscle cars and the large cigars. You know, I was overcompensating, classic overcompensation, but with support groups, I've made a lot of progress, and, you know, I stay away from medical terms like micropenis. I'm phallically challenged. And, you know, some of the great groups that I rely on are Tom Thumb and Tiny Tim and Pinky Promise that have helped me accept who I am as a man. And right now, cochlear sex is really trending very hot. You want to just put in hashtag in any of your social media, hashtag in your ear, and you'll see what's going on. You have to be very careful how you spell that, though. Make sure you spell it or say it in your ear. Otherwise, you know, people think you're talking about something else.
At a Mexican restaurant, Langston stands before a group.
Have a good night.
We're 2 days away from the competition, and I hope you're proud of yourselves, because literally hundreds of mascots wanted to compete in this year's competition. And the judges and I went through all the applications and the audition tapes, and we even had to hire translators because there's some kind of weird languages out there. And believe me, it wasn't cheap. And we finally narrowed it down to 20 finalists. That's you people. Give yourselves a round of applause.
A person in a sushi costume holds a beer.
I can see some of you out there sizing up the competition, looking at him and thinking, that's my archenemy. Well, not tonight. Tonight, we are all friends. In fact, could you all just take a moment and say hello and meet and greet somebody maybe you've never met before? Hi. It's what we always do at church. Isn't that fun?
Hi.
Great. God bless each and every one of you. Hey, let's have a party!
The competitors and guests clap. At the entrance, Andy approaches the doorman.
Hey, how's it going?
Good evening.
Tommy Zuccarello, plus one.
Yeah, Tommy's in there, but there's no plus one.
Well, there should be.
The doorman checks his list.
What about the fist? Is there the fist plus one?
The fist?
Yeah.
No plus one.
Inside at the bar, Tommy pours himself a shot of tequila. He checks out a waitress with flowers in her hair as she talks to the bartender, keeping his eyes on her as he downs the shot. She gives him a disdainful look, and he throws up his hands. Back at the door.
No.
Really?
Sorry, yeah. It's not on the
list. You know what? He probably did nickname thing Dibs. D-I-B-S.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there.
I'll check.
I'm sure it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a margarita machine?
Inside, Lacey eyes Mindy's white sweater.
That vanilla wrap is such a must-have. I love it.
It's vanilla wrap?
It's called a vanilla wrap.
Oh, mm-hmm. I've never heard that
strawberry,
term.
Strawberry, as
thank
requested.
You.
As Cindy joins her sister at the table beside Mike and Mindy's, Mike heaves a sigh and forces a smile.
I'm Mindy.
Hi, Mindy. I'm Cindy.
Mike Murray.
Hi, I'm Lacey.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Hi.
You're a Babina.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
Mike has IBS, so it's tough.
Oh.
Ouch.
You know, you're having a great time, and then...
She mimes an explosion.
Well, I've had 3 yeast infections since my divorce.
The couple frowns.
I just want to stick a hairbrush down there. Get it out.
At the competition venue...
This is our vendors area. We have 24 booths in all, 3 more than last year, and this is by far the best turnout we have ever had. I don't know if you can smell it, but the popcorn is really, really going on strong, which means people are staying and buying things.
That's because you're probably smelling mine. It's right here.
Oh, you're right. But I also think it's from other people, too.
It might just be hers, though.
I think it's this.
It could be.
Hi, what's your name?
Tommy.
Tommy, this has been a delight.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You bet, darling.
Take care.
God bless, sweetheart.
A long line waits at Gabby's booth.
AJ, you know, I could nudge some of my people towards you. They might enjoy meeting you. Even if they don't know who you are.
No, I'm fine. There's a busload of people coming. It must be a little bit late. I better call them.
Yeah.
Hi. What's your name?
Hola. ¿Dónde está usted?
Thank you.
Occidente. Muy malo.
At a medical aides for mascots booth.
Have you ever spent any time inside a mascot outfit?
No, I never have.
It's like, you know, walking around with a porta potty.
Porta potties I've been in, many of them.
Then you know what that smells like.
Ooh.
Let me share with you what I do.
Oh, wow, please, okay. I'm all ears.
I'm an aromatic engineer, kind of an inventor.
Right.
So I'm going to show you.
Yeah, please.
I've come up with what I like to call the scented cup.
The customer furrows his brow.
I've got bruschetta.
Bruschetta, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. And then we have anchovy. People from the Northwest are going crazy for this, this anchovy.
The very interesting ones.
Yeah, no.
Anchovy and bruschetta. You know, where's dinner? Down here. I can't
Buddy
tell
Campbell,
you how
chief sponsor and competition
here.
Judge.
You know, I first fell in love with mascotting when my second wife, Lourdes, and I, we took our kids, Muffy, Pond, Sugito, and, oh boy, what's her name? She's always running around hiding under coffee tables and behind sofas. Never comes out in the day. Maria. Took him to a ball game. And so I found, as the game progressed, that, well, they were watching the mascots more than they were watching the game. And I popped a lot of money for those tickets. So, you know, that got me interested in mascotting. And I go home and I start researching a little bit. And it's fascinating because so many people think mascotting's been around for like 200 years. Wrong. So wrong. I mean, you can go back to like 1500 BC. The Egyptians, you know, they only paint with everybody looking to the left. You ever notice that? It's all, life is one big left turn to these people. If I lived then, be on the right, be something different, be fun, go nuts. But I didn't live then, sadly enough.
A hieroglyph shows figures facing a purple bird mascot. In a hallway, Phil, wearing his costume without the head, spots a worm mascot on its stomach, inching through a door. In a large room, a gray-haired man in a tracksuit reads Pup Life magazine. Greg Gammons Jr., mascot coach.
Mr. Gammons, sir. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Yeah, I had a bit of a mesh tear inside the helmet. I had to find some electrical tape, but we're all good.
Dogs are funny, aren't they? You like dogs?
I like them, yeah.
Hey, you put on some weight?
Phil looks at his bulky costume.
I like the outfit.
Oh, I've weighed 161 pounds since 11th grade.
What have you got planned here? I've been thinking about this act.
Well, you know, it's going to be that the toilet is up here, center stage in the back there. I'm going to enter from over here. Got my bag of tricks.
Yeah.
So music starts, I give it a beat or two. Jack the plumber enters and he's kind of big and looking around, you know, what's this? I'm gonna drop my stuff, my gear there, and that's when I clock the audience. And then it's like, come on, let's go.
He claps.
All the way across the front there. Then I give him a little, I can hear you.
He puts his hand behind his ear.
All right, let me stop you right there. Why can't you hear them?
Phil fidgets regarding his coach.
I can't hear them.
So I like all this. Up to a point,
okay.
But nevertheless, as a plumber, you're going to be very concerned about your job. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. No, that's when I'm going to take a little bit of a break because I'm going to dance. That's when I've been working really hard on the...
He dances.
And if you throw a little twist in, the white-haired crowd is going to go mad.
Yeah,
right?
It's fun. It's generational.
But I'd like another button on there, something that's a little more satisfying. And I think we can do it. We'll put our heads together. And plus, there's going to be some plumbers in the audience. They're going to be your toughest critics. And they're going to say, hey, a plumber wouldn't do that. So you'll fool them and show them the right moves.
In another room, Owen practices out of costume. He sets down a soccer ball before clapping softly. He takes a few exaggerated steps. Owen Sr. tracks his movements, taking notes. Owen Jr. mimes a kick.
Punt.
Sitting nearby, Sarah types on her phone. Owen lays a cloth on a table before dragging it off, whipping it in his hand. His dad continues to subtly mirror his movements. Owen grabs a ladder leaning against a wall.
The ladder comes down from...
Whoa, hold on.
Well, do the ladder routine that I've been working on.
Come on, now, we talked about this.
I know we've talked about it. We've talked about it a lot, but I really think now is the moment for me to finish with the big ladder routine.
Now, because there's a ladder here...
No, Dad, there wasn't just a ladder there. I bought that ladder.
You bought it?
Yeah, I bought it yesterday. I've been working on this routine for months, Dad, and it's good.
You didn't tell me about it.
I have told you. I've told you time and time again about the ladder routine. You keep knocking it down. I've seen the Americans act. They're bigger. They've got big finishes. They've got fireworks and pyros and dancing girls.
So we have to become American
No,
now.
We're not coming... We've got a beautiful routine. It's lovely.
What we've got is a British act that has tradition.
I know.
Tradition is good.
Tradition is great.
You want to piss on tradition? Do you? Go to Her Majesty. Ma'am, why don't you go out next time without your crown and sceptre and wear a fez? Oh, yeah, and carry a selfie stick. And while you're at it, have Philip bring along a ladder.
That's not what he's saying, though, is it? You're not listening to him.
It is what he's saying.
No, he's not. He's just... If you listen...
Oh, now I'm not a good listener.
No, you're not a brilliant listener. You don't tell him how good he is often enough.
I'm always telling him how good he is.
Are you? Do you? I mean...
Yes.
When?
Well, maybe not in words, but I love him. I love him like a son.
He is your son.
Well, I know, but that's why I love him.
Well, you don't tell him. But and words are useful, aren't they?
Well done. You should be a therapist, you should be.
OK, right. Well, all I'm saying is sometimes you need to listen to other people.
All right, well, I'm listening to you now. You take a few minutes, play around with the ladder, do what you want to do, then take it back and get your money back. And I hope you've got the receipt, because then you can get the tax back at the airport. So, have fun. I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'll see you in a while. And I'll find a Jaffa cake and all if I can.
Behind the kettle, Dad.
In the lobby.
Buddy.
Oh, hey, Langston.
Oh, we have got a problem.
Why?
We got a big problem.
Why? What is it?
Benny, the banana slug, failed his drug test.
What?
Yeah, he's on ecstasy.
Why?
Apparently because he needs it to do a pogo stick routine. I don't know, but I found him licking his lips and saying, life is good, life is good.
Behind Buddy, a person in a pink bunny costume strokes a mouse mascot.
The gluten-free channel can't find out about this.
No, I know they can't find out about it. That's the whole problem.
What is it? What's happening?
Nothing. It's just, I think a furry snuck in and then he's scritching.
What's a furry?
It's not a big deal.
What's a furry?
A furry is simply just someone who likes to dress up like an animal with human characteristics. It's a form of role play. It's huge.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But then the scritching thing you said, what is that?
Scritching is simply light scratching or grooming. It's a form of affection. Oh. Furries love to do it. It's just,
I do that.
It's fun for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
We all do it.
But there was a bit of a thing in your voice. I'm good at hearing things in voices, and you had a thing with the scritching. What is it? Tell me.
But that's absolutely nothing to do with sex. Nothing.
Nothing.
Only, 37% of them apparently enjoy sex very much, but that's not the point.
I was in the other room, and one of them kind of bumped into me. I thought the guy was going for my wallet, so I turned around real quick. It seemed different.
Did he yip or did he yiff?
He said skip, and I said, no, my name's Buddy.
Okay, he yipped. If he yipped, that means hello. If he yiffs, if that happens, well, then you got a problem.
You know what? Might have been yiff.
Okay.
And I said he was going for the wallet, more like he was going for loose change, if you know what I'm saying. All right?
Well, if it happens again, just go... Ralph!
I'm gonna say, pal, you're gonna get this.
We have bigger fish to fry. We have a drug problem.
And we got a sex problem if you got people yipping and yiffing and skipping and all that stuff.
In her practice room, Cindy rapidly extends alternating arms. Nearby, Lacey mimics her. A bespectacled man with a bowl haircut enters.
Hello?
Corky.
Hi, Cindy.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Come here, you look so beautiful.
I'm so to you.
Oh,
it is so good to see you.
And you too.
Oh, I've missed you.
I missed you too.
How was your flight?
It was a little bumpy, you know. It was one of those small commuter planes, and I kind of bled a little bit on my blouse.
Ooh.
I had to wash it away with a little moist towelette, which was fun.
Well, you look great. Thank I don't see anything on your shirt.
Thank you.
I need you.
I need you.
You have this fairy dust that just, it just helps me.
You are my favorite student ever in the whole world.
You're my favorite teacher. You know that.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Knock, knock, knock. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Lacey.
What's your name?
Lacey.
Lacey. Oh, you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
May I?
Okay.
He kisses her hand.
Oh.
Yes. Boner.
Really?
Definitely, yes. Let me check.
He glances down, then points to Cindy.
We're going to talk for a little bit, okay, about some of the prep that I call it for the show. And I know that you have the whole physical thing going. I want to get inside that noodle, her inner soul, heart, mind, all the nerves, that whole world. But we'll talk about it together, okay?
Yeah.
We'll probably see you later then, I guess.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Nature is the great teacher. And this exercise that I'm going to teach you is nature personified, okay? I call this the Krabby Walk, okay? So you say Krabby Walk and Krabby Walk.
He waddles in his baggy harem pants.
And I'm not saying crabs walk like that because obviously they don't have legs or big pants. But Krabby Walk gets you in a frame of mind of thinking, yeah. That's
she does her own version.
And you have to say it at the same time.
Okay. Krabby Walk.
Right. But look up. Don't be afraid of looking up. There's something about being in nature. There's something about being in the wild that always connected me to the world. Hanging from a cliff.
Corky St. Clair, you know, mentor.
From a technical climb or having crampons on, which I like to do anyway, but having crampons on a glacier with an ice axe and making my way, you know, into a crevasse, you know, rappelling. I love rappelling because I love holding rope, again, in any situation. But especially on the side of a mountain where you feel, it's like nature saying with a big hand, slapping you across the face and saying, listen, I'm here and so are you, but in 1 second you're not here and I'm still here, which is pretty much the best acting advice you could have.
In another room.
Keep your head low so that Tammy's eyes are looking up.
I know how it works. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mike pitches the ball to Mindy, who misses it with her bat.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Okay.
It was a little high, though.
Right, but I think at this point, what's less important is whether or not you hit it, more just where your eyes end up, because that's
what people are doing. Well, I'm not wearing a head, so how can you tell where my eyes are going to end up?
Because
a busty woman in a yellow dress and a shorter man enter unnoticed.
I thought we were practicing this part.
You're being impossible.
Would you throw the ball?
I'll throw it. When we're not on a team anymore, we're just two individuals.
What? Okay, well, that was...
He hurls two balls at her.
That came so close to my head.
You
piece of garbage.
Don't
Why
touch
do you
me.
Do that? Why
you know
do you
what?
Do that?
You're at the wrong event. You don't belong at the Fuzzies.
Oh, really?
You belong at the Stucky Miss Olympics.
Club?
That's what you should...
Oh, my God.
You guys are here. You stuck up on us.
You look beautiful.
Mike forces a hug on the man, then holds his arms out to the busty woman.
Look at you.
Hi, how are you? Oh.
Hello.
How are you? It's great to see you.
I'm okay. I'm a lucky guy.
Saul and Jolene Lumpkin, owners of the South Fork Herons.
Well, I was going to say I don't know how it happened, but I know exactly how it happened. And I was online one day. I was kind of browsing around escort services. And this face stared at me, and I just, I mean, I remember, I was like, oh, my God. And it wasn't the beauty alone. It was the sweet, sweet, oh, my God. Honey, did I ever tell you I'm crazy about you?
Wow. That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. I like a guy that just thinks everything I do is great. And not only that, but, I mean, he was like, if you don't want to do anything tonight, you don't have to. He was not making me do a bunch of weird stuff all in one night. You know?
I spread it out.
But it felt respectful. And I like how that felt. And he...
And you liked when I bought you the baseball team. The day that I got her that baseball team, the look on her face, she's like a 9-year-old girl at Christmas. It was so sweet and it just...
He put the team in my name, and that meant a lot, too.
Yeah, my lawyer almost killed me. But I did it. Well, I'm awfully glad I have this woman in my life, and I hope she's here to stay, and...
I haven't left him, and I think it's because he continues to show me a good time. He tells me whatever I do is cool. I mean, I'll make some macrame shit bag, you know? And he'll just go, that's a masterpiece or something, you know what I mean?
Just don't make me carry it, please.
And then he wants to sniff it. He wants to sniff all my bags.
I do.
Well, that's weird, but you know what? I'll take that over some guy, you know, defecating on my head.
In a break room, a little person hops while reaching for a shelf.
Hey, leave that cookie jar alone. You deserve a good spanking.
What?
Hey, what are you going after there, Sergeant?
Just trying to get some almonds up here. No, I'm okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, though.
He hoists himself onto the counter to grab a baggie.
I'm going to take you with me when I climb Mount Everest.
That'll be a fun trip. Might be the first little guy to be up there.
Have a seat. Let me give you a hand here.
I can climb it. It's fine. It's okay.
No, yeah, okay. I want to help you some way, man.
It's okay. You can help me just by sitting down. It's
He climbs onto a stool.
I can't take my eyes off of you. You're a funny little guy.
Thanks.
You'd make a good mascot.
Actually, I am. I'm a mascot. My name's Ron. I'm the worm.
Oh, you're the worm. I heard talk about you. I think I saw you.
Oh, good. Hope you like what you saw.
Yeah, I sure did. Is that how you got to this size?
Huh?
I mean, did they make you this size just to fit in the worm costume?
No, they made me this size when I was born. So you're a
legitimate little person.
Yeah, I'm not a fake little person.
Oh, I see. I thought maybe they shrunk you down or something.
No, it's not like that.
Because it's a very competitive contest, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that technology exists yet.
How do you drive a car? Do you sit on someone's lap or what?
No, I just...
I bet it's a real tiny little car, is it? No. Tell me everything. This fascinates the hell out of me.
I have a pretty standard car.
Do you have another little person down there operating the pedals for you?
No. I basically just have a metal rod that goes on top of a pedal, and there's another pedal on top of that. You just attach it with some bolts and a wrench, and then you have it's a pedal extender, and that's it.
You lost me somewhere in there, but I guess it's all kind of... I don't know if you know who Jack the Plumber is.
Yeah, the mascot.
Well,
yep.
I manage him.
Oh, great.
He's got a wonderful act. He's missing something. He's missing a little button at the end of his act, and I got something percolating in my brain.
Okay.
But I need another person. It's got to be a person of your persuasion.
Right. So you want me to recruit a little person for you?
Another little person, shorter than you even, smaller the better.
Because we all know each other.
Is that a fact? Well, all I want is one.
I'll go down into the tunnel where we all live and blow into the magical horn that lets...
You're funning me, but okay, you got a good sense of humor. Ask me for $5.
I would like $5.
I'm a little short this week. Get it?
Elsewhere, Mike rounds a corner to find Lacey waiting at an elevator.
Hi.
Hi.
She grins and he gestures to the elevator.
Waiting.
Yeah. How you doing?
I've been better.
Long day?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. My wife and I are doing this never go to bed angry thing, you know, so I'm just exhausted. You know, we haven't been sleeping.
I'm sorry. It's hard, huh?
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah.
You have a nice, you have a beautiful laugh.
Thank you.
I don't want to be too forward,
no,
but you just
no.
got the...
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't hate your eyes.
Really?
I don't.
That's nice.
They're like if two clouds had babies.
He wears a touched look.
My wife says that I look like I have cataracts.
Oh.
And she says it so much that I actually went to an ophthalmologist and got it checked out. And he said, no, those are just your eyes.
Okay.
I like your whistle.
She wears it on a chain around her neck.
That's cool.
I like to put my lips on it. It's like a friend of my mouth.
He looks her up and down. Lacey touches his stomach on their way into the elevator. Mike stares forward, and Lacey glances at him, smacking her gum.
You want to try my gum?
What?
You want to try my gum?
She stretches the gum from her mouth to his. He eats his way along it until their lips meet and they back against a wall. Outside a school, a blonde woman waits as Phil's compact hatchback pulls up. The oversized shoes of Phil's Jack the Plumber costume step out. Holding his mascot head, Phil walks over to the woman.
Robin Wexler.
Phil!
Holy cow. Hey.
He gives her a big hug, which she returns half-heartedly.
Oh, that's so good to see you.
Wow.
God.
Nice to see you, too.
How long has it been?
I don't know. It's
23 and a half years.
So you went to Higby?
Yeah, of course. Remember, I was the mascot.
You know, I just never knew who was in there. I remember the mascot. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
Wow.
That was me. God, it's so good to see you.
Well, thanks for doing this.
Oh, you're kidding me? It's my pleasure. It's like it's a reason to perform and also to reconnect with an old friend.
Great.
God, we had so much fun, didn't we?
Yes.
Do you remember Mr. Drum's technology class when you and I were partnering up to build that bridge out of popsicle sticks? And you were like, oh, I wish we could have eaten these popsicles beforehand. We were cracking up.
I don't remember that.
Oh, man, it was good times.
Well,
I feel like I want to give you another hug.
Oh, that's okay. Why don't I give you a tour?
Sure.
After Connor went to college, I had all this free time. I thought, I want to work with disadvantaged children that are really pretty disadvantaged.
Yeah, you want to give back.
I want to give back. That's exactly right.
I'm with you.
No, but I mean, I get crazy. Sometimes I'll go to a movie in the middle of the afternoon. But I really want to spend my time giving back.
I celebrate that. I think mascotting is, to me, it's all about giving back, you know? Robin, I don't know if you're busy tomorrow, but I do have a ticket for the mascot competition down in Anaheim, and I was wondering if maybe you'd like to be my guest.
It's great. Do you care if I bring David?
I thought your son's name was Connor.
It is. David's my fiance. We should get in. Let's go.
She walks into a building. Phil follows her despondently into a sparsely filled auditorium.
Oh, the kids are so excited.
Phil eyes a sign hung over the stage.
It says Center for the Blind.
Right.
Are all these kids blind?
Oh, yeah, they're all blind. All of them.
I'm worried that my act is going to get kind of lost on them.
Oh, no, these kids, they just want to have a good time.
And they're all blind?
Yeah, they're all blind.
But the teachers can see.
No. Most of the teachers are blind. We have one teacher who's not completely blind. He's legally blind.
And where's he?
He's homesick today.
Phil dons his mascot head, which has brown hair and a thick mustache.
You're gonna do great.
He gives her a thumbs up.
Have fun.
As Jack the Plumber, he steps onto the stage, glancing up at the sign, which reads, The Cromwell Center for the Blind, Annual Summer Party. He bumps into the microphone. He starts to dance weakly, then throws up his hands. In the hotel lobby, Cindy peruses a brochure as Lacey walks up to her.
Hey.
Wow.
You look happy.
Thank you.
And relaxed. You look good. What do you want to do?
I definitely want to do this jousting thing.
Mm.
And they have a ladies' fishing night. We can all go out on a boat.
Oh, no way. That is going to be good. This is Cindy.
That's only $11 to go out on a boat. Oh, two for one.
Uh-huh.
Two of us can go for the same price. It's one ticket.
I got to go.
Cindy darts away.
Hey, you okay?
Lacey gazes after her with a concerned expression. Cindy runs toward the entrance of the competition venue. She jogs inside and sits before AJ, Langston, Buddy, and Gabby, seated in a row.
What'd I do?
Miss Babineau, a formal complaint has been lodged against you. It has come to our attention that your college basketball team is nicknamed the Leaping Squaws, which means that your character is in violation of Rule 11B, which states mascots cannot represent or be associated with anything offensive based on race, creed, gender, or sexual orientation.
Well, I'm an armadillo, and the team isn't called the Leaping Squaws anymore. That was like 100 years ago or something.
Unfortunately, it is still on the internet.
Yeah, but I've read on the internet that man's living on the moon, and that's not true.
And you can't trust Wikipedia either. Not everything on Wikipedia is true.
Who made this complaint?
I'm sorry, but Rule 22C states that the president cannot disclose the identity of the formal complainant.
Cindy turns away, her mouth dropping open in disbelief. Gabby leans forward, and Cindy looks at them again, her eyes filling with tears.
I don't know what to say.
Please don't cry.
I'm an armadillo. We're not the Leaping Squaws anymore.
A tear falls down her cheek.
I understand that. But since that you are representing something that might be considered offensive, this could be grounds for disqualification.
I'm Choctaw.
I'll tell you what, why don't you step outside and the jury can deliberate?
Cindy stands and leaves.
Sweetheart. Aw.
Awesome. I just feel horrible.
Yeah, me too.
I've never thought of squaw as being an offensive term.
Never, me too.
And frankly, I'm more offended by the word leaping.
Why?
Well, it's blatantly homophobic.
What?
I'm just not offended by the word squaw. No. It means a little Indian girl.
I think squaw is sweet.
Mm-hmm. You gotta quit saying that word. It's the S word. It's a bad term. Talk to your Native American friends. It's the same as the C word, or the N word, or something.
You're comparing the term squaw with the C word?
That's what it means.
What?
What?
That's what it means.
You know what we need to do is check with the Indian guy in the gift shop and ask him if he finds the term squaw offensive.
He's East Indian. He's not Native American.
Well, what is the difference?
Well, one is in Asia, one is in the American continent.
I always thought he was Pakistani.
I just called him Eddie.
Eddie? Is his name Eddie?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've been calling him Kent.
Oh, my. Well, it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to Eddie. Call him whatever you want.
I'd like to make a motion that we reject the claim against this young lady.
I would second that.
All in favor of the motion, say aye and lift your hands up.
Aye.
Aye.
At the hotel bar.
Hey, babe.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm not disqualified.
You're not?
I'm not.
Oh, Babineau.
Babineau.
Woo!
Yeah, sister. Yeah, so I'm relieved. That was an ordeal.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
I'm starving.
All right.
I'm really hungry.
Okay.
What do you want?
I could go with, like, wings or biscuits or, like...
I kind of would love to try sushi.
I don't know about that.
They have fried stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
That's exciting.
Did you pay?
I did. We're good.
Cindy finishes Lacey's drink.
Delicious.
Okay.
It's 9 a.m. and 71 degrees in beautiful Anaheim, and people are already lining up for the World Mascot Association Championships.
Phil warms up in his hotel room.
But there are some unbelievable acts. There are some seats still available, so why don't you grab a friend, head on down there, and check it out.
What was it all for, huh?
He looks in a mirror.
Dehydration, heat exhaustion, the hours in the head. What was it for? It was for today. Failure is not an option. Today's the day that you go out there and you show the world who Phil Mayhew is.
He points at his reflection.
Do it.
Carrying the ladder, Owen approaches the hardware store.
Thank you. Big ladder.
Inside, Tommy watches another customer hold the door for him. Owen clumsily enters, leaning the ladder against the counter. Wearing his hedgehog costume without the head, Owen glances at Tommy, who stares at him with his mouth hanging open.
I know you.
I don't think so.
We had the Mexican the other day. It was spicy.
Mascots.
Owen clenches his furry costume's hand.
The fist.
What's the ladder for?
Oh, the ladder. Yeah, it's for a new bit. You know, for Anaheim, the big show.
Oh.
I really want to smash it. And I'd had a bit involving the ladder, but my dad's not too keen.
Your dad?
My dad was Sid before me.
Oh.
And his dad was Sid before him. So it's a family tradition. We've all done it.
You're not Sid anymore?
No, I'm Sid now. Yeah.
So what does it matter what they think?
Well, it shouldn't. And I love Dad, and I love his routine. But it's just not... I think it can be much better. Sarah loves it. Sarah loves the whole...
Your mum?
No, my wife.
He points to his finger.
Underneath that, there's a ring. She's really supportive of me. She's my rock. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Owen grins.
She's my best friend.
Can I give you some advice, Hedgehog?
Yeah, of course.
There once was a boy who wanted a father, but instead, he was promised an empire. So when he didn't get love from his father, he went looking for that empire.
Tommy gives Owen a pointed look.
Not my words. The words of Michael Landon. Season 1, Episode 8 of Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven. Well, yeah.
Think about it.
Was he an angel?
Tommy flashes an annoyed expression.
Keep climbing, Hedgehog.
Thanks, Tommy. Oh, good luck, mate. Thank you.
The Irishman leaves the store, and Owen glances up at the ladder. In the hotel hallway, Lacey stands at a housekeeping cart, sniffing a bar of soap. She stuffs several more bars into her pink purse before walking over to a room's red door.
It's open.
In the bathroom, Lacey finds a disheveled Cindy sitting next to the toilet, leaning over the bowl.
Oh my God, what happened?
The sushi. It had bugs in it.
I'm so sorry. People aren't supposed to eat live fish.
I know.
Elsewhere, Owen drives down the wrong side of the road, the ladder poking out of the sunroof.
Pull over.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Please. Oh, shit.
Pull over now.
Is that for me? What do I do? Pull over.
You're driving on the wrong side of the street. Pull over immediately.
In Cindy's room.
Lacey.
She lies in bed, Lacey sitting on the edge.
I'm not going to be able to go on stage.
What?
I'm too sick.
No, you got to do it. You're Alvin. You got to get up there and do it.
Listen to me. I put you down as my alternate.
Her sister gapes.
You're going to go out there and perform.
Can't do that.
You know it.
I don't know it like you do. You are Alvin.
It doesn't matter.
But you've been doing it your whole life. I can't go up there and do something you've been doing your whole life.
Alvin is Alvin. You'll put on the mask. And you'll be great.
In the partially filled auditorium, audience members mingle near their seats. Upton pulls a plastic water bottle from a bag and hands it to Jessica.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
The lights dim.
Welcome to the 8th World Mascot Association Championships. Please welcome our celebrity judges.
Gabby signs an autograph and AJ looks away in the backstage corridor.
When did you last see him?
This morning at the hotel. After his Cocoa Pops, he said he was going to go and take that ladder back and meet me here.
But why didn't he do it yesterday?
He wouldn't have had to do it at all if you hadn't told him to do it.
Biggest day of his life.
Biggest day of your life, Marlovic.
He's never late for anything. It doesn't make sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first contestants from the Chandratarai Cricket Club in India, Pointy and Grindy.
A pencil mascot steps jauntily onto the sunken performance floor.
It's a pencil.
The pencil holds out its arms, and a sharpener mascot emerges from behind a scrim bearing the WMA logo. Langston stands in an aisle between audience sections, and Upton gives him a thumbs up. On the stage, the pencil hops around the sharpener, then they bob to the beat in unison. The pencil spins away. Turning back, the pencil bends forward. The sharpener steps sideways, engulfing the pencil's tip in one of its holes. Its crank whines, and the pencil quivers. Pulled to the side of the road with a police car behind him, Owen gets out.
Whoa!
What?
What are you doing?
Getting out of the car.
Stop right there.
I thought I was meant to get out and come and...
No. Put your paw down.
Okay.
I need to see your driver's license and proof of registration.
Yeah, of course.
He digs around in his costume shorts.
You need to be honest with me right now. Have you been drinking?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Have you been drinking today?
Yes. No, yes.
I'm going to ask you one more time.
Okay.
Have you drank any alcohol today?
No. Don't
alcohol.
Never drink and drive.
Sir,
I never
drink.
No,
alcohol?
I'm trying to get pregnant, so I'm not drinking. Okay. My wife's I'm not.
Back at the venue, the pencil and sharpener dance side by side. In the wings, Greg watches the performance on a monitor.
Hey, Mr. Gammon, sir.
Hey, Phil, how you feeling? Nervous?
Excited.
You got every reason in the world to be nervous. It all comes down to the next few minutes. You ever see anything like this? A pencil and a pencil sharpener. That's one of the last joys in life, sharpening a pencil. It's hard to do that wrong.
Jack the plumber.
And remember, in this country, you can be anything you want to be. Now go get him.
In full costume, Phil jogs off. Back with Owen.
I want you to look at the tip of my pen.
Mm-hmm.
All right? With your eyes only, follow it.
Okay.
We're going to start again. You moved your head. You moved your head.
No, I didn't.
If I told you you moved your head, moved your head, correct?
I didn't think I did. Sorry.
Tip of the pen.
Yeah.
With your eyes only. Here we go. Other side. We're going to start again.
Let's do it.
To the left. Eyes only.
Yeah, eyes only.
Owen moves his head.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Are we done? No, that seemed rude.
I'll let you know when we're done.
No, I know.
All right, Mr. Golly? Feet on the line.
It's jolly. I've got to get to the WMAs.
Let's give a big hand to Pointy and Grindy.
The two mascots wave to the crowd, then walk off. Elsewhere in the venue, Owen Sr. and Sarah enter a storage room.
Why did you tell him not to bring his phone?
It costs a fortune, a phone foreign, doesn't it?
Owen!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, from Beaumont College, in Modesto, California, Jack the Plumber.
Phil, as Jack, steps out to the stage, which is decorated with black and white checkered flooring and an oversized yellow toilet. He sets down his bag and exaggeratedly wipes his brow. He claps and dances. In another area, Lacey sips from a mini liquor bottle, her legs and hands painted.
You're too young to be drinking now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Dutch courage, is it?
Huh?
Courage, you're drinking for courage.
I'm drinking for courage. I'm in it to win it.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you. I'm going to win this thing.
What's the act like then? Is it what? You lie down and a truck goes over you or something?
Sort of. It's a modern dance piece. It's about women and it's about fertility.
My favorite kind of dance is modern.
Okay, well, I hope you have two eyes on the show tonight.
I will. What did you say your name was?
Lacey, with an I.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I put a heart over it.
Of course you do.
He smiles lecherously, leaning on a wall.
I'm Tommy.
I have metal on my hand, Silver.
Oh,
he kisses her neck.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. So maybe I'll see you afterwards.
Okay.
I'll be the tall one looking at you.
She smiles as he steps past her, then chews her gum with a bewildered look. Back on stage, Jack the Plumber plunges the toilet repeatedly, then stumbles backward. In the audience, Jolene laughs as Saul stares at his phone. Jack waves his hand in front of his face, then bends down to a coiled plumber snake in a bucket, exposing his costume's butt crack. The judges grin. He drags the snake to the toilet and drops it in. The plumber walks his yellow-gloved hands along the snake, taking two big strides to step over it. He yanks on the snake, each pull bringing him closer to the bowl until he smacks his face on it. He falls back to the floor. With its hands pressed together overhead, a small person in a poo costume with big eyes rises out of the toilet.
Oh my God!
Wearing a blue beanie, it climbs gracefully over the lid. As Jack chases the poo around the floor, Jolene grins and nudges Sol. The delighted audience claps along as Jack and the poo dance with joined hands before linking arms and turning in a circle. The poo puts up a staying hand, and Jack freezes with his arms up. The poo claps its hands overhead at the audience, who join in. Jack points at the brown mascot as it skillfully dances a hip-hop routine. At the judges' table, Buddy grins beside AJ, who puts his head down, pounding on the table. An unsmiling Gabby watches with her hands folded in front of her mouth. As Jack does choreographed moves, the poo leans against the toilet, keeping the beat with its hand in the air. Backstage, the pink bunny furry comes up behind a clam mascot and gently strokes it. The clam shell opens like a mouth, and the bunny hurries away. Back on the performance floor, the poo does a head spin as Jack pumps his arms in the air. Sol claps enthusiastically. On their knees, the plumber and the poo point their fingers in unison before leaping to their feet and dancing. The poo jumps into Jack's arms and he carries it to the toilet. He places it inside the bowl and mimes hitting the flusher. Hands pressed together overhead, the poo spirals down, disappearing into the toilet. As the other judges take notes, Gabby draws an X on her page.
That was Jack the Plumber from Beaumont College in Modesto, California.
In the wings, Greg watches the monitor.
Heshy and the worm to the stage, please.
A rabbi mascot walks by with the worm.
Go get him, Tiny.
From the Tassalam Tigers canoe team in Israel, Heshy and the worm.
The rabbi mascot does a Jewish folk dance as the worm runs around him. In the wings, Phil walks over to Greg.
Hey, two things. First, FYI, I found out it's free sausage night tonight at the waffle place. All you can eat. Secondly, and more important, how do you feel it went out there?
To be honest, I was a little nervous about the poo, but, you know, they ate it up, so to speak.
Greg turns back to the monitor.
Couple of beats after the solo, I missed a couple of steps, you know,
I didn't watch the whole thing, but you did a great job.
Okay.
Hey, look at this. That's Tiny. Did you meet him, the worm?
No, I was distracted.
You know, they can criticize our country, but if a rabbi can get together with a worm and entertain our citizens, we got a pretty solid future.
Well, my head's still kind of in the head right now, so I'm going to walk it off.
Great job.
Greg pats Phil's shoulder without looking.
Wonder if that's a real rabbi.
That was Heshy and the Worm from the Tassalon Tigers in Israel.
Mike and Mindy walk a corridor partially in costume.
Are you centered?
I feel good. I feel
okay,
great.
Okay, it looks from your breathing like you might not be centered.
I'm doing the best I can with...
Mike stares after Lacey as they pass her.
What are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
Will you stop being stupid right now? Did you see what your face did?
Okay, I
do
hear
you. Do
you
know what your face did?
I hear your criticism, and I validate it.
Our next contestants, from the South Fork Herons in Kansas, Tammy and Ollie.
In his Ollie the Octopus costume, Mike drives a motorcycle onto the stage. Mindy, as Tammy the Turtle, rides in the sidecar. They park beside a green diamond with a pitcher's mound and home plate before a backstop net. In the bathroom, Tommy repeatedly pushes the lever of an empty paper towel dispenser, a joint hanging out of his mouth.
Hey, partner, what's the problem?
A greedy little booger. Do you have any coins?
Coins?
For the paper machine.
Whatever you're smoking, you got any more of that?
I've got loads of it in the motorhome if you want it.
Lead the way, my honor.
Greg follows him out. Behind them, a person in a burrito costume passes a wolf mascot at a urinal. In the auditorium, Tammy stands at home plate holding the oversized bat. On the pitcher's mound, Ollie crouches to pick up a ball. He winds up and throws, but Tammy swings and misses. The turtle assumes the batting stance, and the bespectacled octopus mascot pitches her a ball near her head. She ducks to avoid it.
You almost hit me with the ball, you dumb dumbhead!
Okay, stop it.
He flings another ball.
It's too hard.
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
Tammy gets in his face, gesturing emphatically. He bumps his mascot head into hers, knocking her down.
You're a criminal moron!
He hurls balls at her.
You can hear them! You keep it!
She tackles him.
Ooh. What the hell is going on?
They wrestle on the ground, and he rolls her to her back. Ali grabs her by the foot and drags her around the floor.
What's going on?
He pulls her backwards, falling into the backstop net. After struggling with the net, Ali stands and drags her off stage by the foot. The judges wear stunned expressions. Mike and Mindy walk backstage, where Mindy knocks Ron in his worm costume to the floor.
What? What are you doing?
We're okay.
No, we're not okay.
We're okay.
You ruined it.
We're okay.
You ruined
elsewhere.
It.
This place is massive.
He ain't in the building. We got rid of him.
This is the last place we've looked. If you ain't here, we're going to have to call the police.
Call the morgue.
Oh, my God.
Owen rides a freight elevator with the ladder.
Sorry.
Over by the old Bill.
You what?
And then my policeman Tourette's kicked in.
You're joking.
And I said stuff that I shouldn't have
said. Oh, but every,
no, he what's didn't. What's this doing
don't
here?
Worry
oh,
about
shut
the
up without the
ladder,
fucking ladder.
Okay, mwah, I love you.
Oh,
mwah, I love you. You're an old pillock, but I love you. Right, go.
Smash
sit
it,
down, shut up, enjoy
give
the show.
Give him.
Touchdown.
On stage, a match mascot with a glittery red head wheels a person in a blue hippo costume on a rolling cart. Sarah and Owen Sr. take their seats as the two mascots arrive at a cannon, its base painted with stars. Langston smiles as the hippo climbs steps toward the cannon's mouth.
Oh, it's a match.
Yeah, a match.
Oh, yeah.
The hippo climbs into the cannon. In an otherwise vacant dressing room, Lacey sports a purple basketball uniform, her arms and legs painted with tire tracks. Wearing a pair of mint green headphones, she bends and pulls her arms in deliberate motions. In a wide stance, she bends at the knees, dropping her arms between her legs. Her gaze lowered, Lacey loosely runs through the motions of the routine. Now she lies on the floor, her legs pulled toward her chest. With her eyes closed, Lacey's arms extend toward the ceiling. After going through a few more moves, Lacey sits down before a lighted mirror. The Alvin head, shoddily constructed out of mesh and duct tape, wears a leather aviator helmet and sits on the counter in front of her. Cindy enters holding a large water bottle and a silver bucket, dabbing her face with a towel.
I made it.
Oh, sweet.
Made
oh,
it.
My God, you did. Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
They both sit down.
Oh, you still throwing up?
Throwing up and diarrhea.
Oh, out both ends.
Yeah, it's like a war going on, but right now it stopped.
I'm sorry, babe.
Well.
Cindy picks up the Alvin head.
You're going to be great.
Thank you. I'm sorry you can't do it. I really am.
It's okay. I can't wait to see you do it.
Lacey grabs the head and moves it.
But you're the best, Daddy.
Cindy grins.
Okay, Alvin. You're doing my sister good. I'll be watching from the wings.
All right.
Collecting her water bottle and bucket, Cindy shuffles out.
I love that you came. Bathroom's on the left.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Amelia Earhart College for Women in Mississippi, Alvin the Armadillo.
Corky takes a seat in the auditorium before the lights go down. The lights come up on Lacey, wearing the Alvin head and an armored shell harnessed onto her back. Arms extended, she moves them one at a time in an arc with short counterclockwise jerks. Leaning forward, she flaps her hands palms up, then lifts alternating heels off the ground. Her wrists bent and hands held like paws, she scuttles backwards before straightening. She rocks to the beat, jutting out her arms as some members of the audience watch with puzzled looks. With her wrists bent at a 90-degree angle, Lacey, as Alvin, points them from side to side before dropping them below her waist and repeating the motion.
The mind bounces in meaningless thoughts.
As Alvin, Lacey does a cartwheel before stepping onto a small trampoline. She jumps a few times, posing in the air before dismounting. She shimmies her shoulders, her arms held loosely in front of her. She stands on a narrow strip of carpet with a yellow line painted down the center. She reaches under it and grabs a steering wheel, holding it as if driving. She tosses it away. With her feet on either side of the carpet, she jerkily pantomimes passing a basketball between her legs, then dribbling it side to side.
My shell. My shell. Shell,
shell. She crouches to the ground as the lights lower, the red eyes of the Alvin head glowing in the dim blue light. From darkness, two strips of red light appear. As the blue lights come on, Alvin dances with illuminated batons, fabric draped over her head and upper body.
What is language? Trapped.
It smells like good stuff.
Does the job, Greg.
In his motorhome, Tommy and Greg smoke joints.
Here in the United States, we have, in the state of South Carolina, a place called Mount Rushmore. I don't know if you heard of it. They have a facade of four of our founding fathers on this mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of it. George Washington,
Greg stares off, and Tommy's mouth hangs open.
Well, hell, everyone knows the founding fathers.
Oh.
Andy opens the door, dressed as a ref.
Dick Nuts!
What are you doing, Zook? Let's go, man. We gotta get you suited up.
Is that today?
Yeah.
I'll be over in a minute.
Hurry up.
On stage, Alvin holds a hula hoop.
Hello. This is Cindy.
She looks through the hoop. In the audience,
Hello?
Upton yawns.
Hello, Cindy. Who is this?
Why are you calling?
An audience member wears a bewildered look. Corky watches the act, putting his hand to his mouth emotionally. In the wings, Cindy wipes away a tear.
Who is this? You've got the wrong number.
The hoop now lying flat on the floor, Alvin curls up inside it.
Was I ever here?
She rolls to her back, flipping the hoop onto its edge.
What happened?
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Alvin rocks back and forth inside the hoop as the lights go off, the costume's eyes glowing red in the dark. Gabby and AJ exchange a glance before looking at their notes.
That was Alvin, the armadillo.
In the wings, Cindy leaves the monitor to greet Lacey. The sisters embrace tightly.
You were amazing. You were so good.
Thank you. We did it.
Lacey pulls off the Alvin head with an emotional smile.
We did it.
Backstage, a mouse mascot takes selfies. A person in a bagel costume plays cards with a dog mascot wearing a football helmet.
Our next contestant, from the Willingham Rovers in London, England, Sid the Hedgehog.
Under a spotlight, Sid the Hedgehog rides out on a unicycle. He pedals around his set, made up of a carpet, trunk, and a small table draped with a white cloth. He dismounts, waving a pennant.
It's a squirrel.
Hedgehog.
Upton shoots Jessica an annoyed look as Langston observes them with a smile. Sid leans on the now open trunk and a soccer ball pops out. He chases after it and sets it on the floor. He takes a few steps away, then turns back to the ball. He attempts a kick, falling onto his backside. Owen Sr. grins. On the performance floor, the hedgehog tries again, this time kicking the ball away. He pumps his paw in the air, and the judges smile. Bending over the trunk, he pulls out a tray with two teacups on it. As he carries it to the table, he trips, and the cloth catches on his paw. He sets the tray down, then waves the cloth around wildly, trying to get it off. As he shakes the cloth into the trunk, he falls, producing a silver teapot in one fluid motion. He mimes a long pour into one of the cups as a huge soccer ball rolls by. He stops the ball, then rubs his paws together excitedly before moving a small distance away. With a running start, he leaps onto the ball, stepping along it as it rolls.
Good routine.
Sid steers the ball toward the table where he rolls off, sitting on it like a chair before lifting a teacup. He holds up a finger, then looks dramatically toward the ladder, standing vertical with another large soccer ball hung above it. Owen Sr. covers his mouth nervously. The hedgehog mascot strides over to the ladder, setting his cup on the floor. He starts up, but slips off his first rung. He uses his paws to place his leg on the second rung of the ladder, then climbs up several steps before slipping again. He hangs on by one paw, then regains his grip.
Oh, gosh.
Rotating onto the other side of the ladder, it ascends higher and higher. Owen Sr. and Sarah watch with anxious expressions as he nears the top. With multiple spotlights shining down on him, Sid reaches for the soccer ball out of his reach. He steps onto the topmost rung, waving his arms as he balances on the ladder. The hedgehog mascot's flailing form is silhouetted by a spotlight against a backdrop. The ladder wobbles, and the judges watch with anticipation as Sid reaches for the ball, using his paw to inch his arm closer to it. He jumps off the ladder and lands shakily back on the top rung before tipping forward. His feet hooked onto the top rung, Sid hangs inverted, gripping the sides of the ladder. He slides down, gently rolling into a sitting position on the floor. Sid turns to the crowd and holds up his paws.
Sid the Hedgehog, from London, England.
The judges clap.
Lovely.
Wow.
Holding the teacup, Sid kicks his heels on his way off stage. Owen Sr. and Sarah hug. In a corridor, Tommy, in his costume shaped like a large fist, glides on inline skates with Andy in the ref mascot outfit. They arrive as Owen walks into the wings, removing his Sid head. Owen and the fist slap hands.
Oi, oi. Good luck, mate.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Blue Lake Mallards in Canada, the Fist.
As numerous lights flash on the performance floor, the Fist skates around holding a hockey stick. Gabby puts her hands over her ears as AJ watches with a smile. The giant Fist mascot takes a knee in the center of the floor, playing air guitar on the hockey stick as bright light beams down on him. Pillars of flame shoot up behind him as he faces the cheering crowd and stands. To his side, a yellow goal is guarded by a goalie cutout. In the audience, several people stand, pumping their hands in the air. A few raise foam fists overhead. Two older men cover their ears as they grimace. As the Fist skates toward the goalie cutout, Gabby presses her hands to her ears, and AJ mimes drumming along with the song. The Fist shoots a puck at the goal, but it goes wide. He plows into the goalie cutout, breaking it and the goal into pieces as flames shoot up behind him. The ref mascot skates out. He mimes blowing a whistle, then points to a penalty box on the other side of the stage. The ref chases him around the box. In a dressing room, Owen starts removing his costume scarf.
Babe.
Sarah walks in with his dad.
Hey. Oh, my God. Oh, my God,
you. Was it all right? Was it good?
Emotions?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Laughing.
Ladders. Up.
What?
Down. Without breaking my spine.
Hello.
Hello.
He shakes his dad's hand.
It was immense.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
All those years in the shop, I used to say to you, every carcass is different.
Indeed.
Never listened to my own advice, did I?
No.
I'll tell you what, I was a better Sid than my dad ever was, but you're a better Sid than I could have ever been.
No, shut up.
No, I mean it.
Record that.
Don't be silly.
It's family progress, eh?
Wow.
It's progress.
The three of them hug. Back in the auditorium, the Fist chases the ref around the floor until they disappear behind the scrim. As Gabby rests her head on her hands, many audience members get to their feet. Confetti rains down as the Fist bursts through the scrim, holding a limp ref in his arms. He skates over to the judges and drops the dummy on their table. The mascot turns away, releasing the Fist's middle finger.
Great.
AJ gives a thumbs up as he returns to his seat. The Fist skates off. Elsewhere, Langston leads Upton and Jessica to the lobby.
So I hate to put you on the spot, but which mascot was your favorite?
Favorite? Well, they're all about as good as each other, I think.
I thought the pencil was pretty great.
He was great, wasn't he?
Please take 15 minutes to stretch your legs while the judges deliberate.
And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming all the way from New York.
New York?
Well, yeah, your network's in New York, right?
No, we're at the Burbank office.
Oh.
Yeah, we're in the Burbank office. We just came down the 5, took 30 minutes.
The pink bunny humps the Top Hat mascot. That.
Would you excuse me just for a second?
Yeah.
Hey! Get back here! I've got you, Mr. Get back here right now! Get back here! Stop that rabbit!
In the auditorium,
Why not take this opportunity to visit our snack bar in the lobby?
The judges review their notes. Elsewhere, two security guards escort the pink bunny furry out of a corridor.
I want him out of the building. I want him on the street. I hope you rot in hell.
As they pass, the clam mascot's shell drops open in the auditorium.
Ladies and gentlemen, this year's winners will now be announced.
Three white glove stagehands set out gold, silver, and bronze trophies shaped like bear mascots.
Please welcome back our celebrity judges.
The four judges stand behind the trophies.
Well, the time is here. It's what we've all been waiting for. Can you feel the excitement in the air?
Yes.
And next year, fingers crossed, if we're really, really lucky, we just might be televised.
Oh, my.
And of course, none of this would be possible without our main sponsor, Mr. Buddy Campbell.
Langston passes the microphone to Buddy.
Thanks very much. Campbell Towel and Carpet, you say it, we lay it. You know, as judges, we had some very difficult decisions to make, and no winner was unanimous. Each one of us had to serve as a tiebreaker, so I think that goes to show the high level of competition, and so certainly congratulations to all the finalists. And it is now my honor to introduce to you Gabby Monkhouse.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. And now, the World Mascot Association bronze fluffy goes to Jack the Plumber, Beaumont College, Modesto, California.
Plumber time!
Jack the Plumber and the Pooh mascot step on stage, where Langston hands the plumber the bronze fluffy award.
Congratulations, Jack. Well deserved.
Hi there.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you so much. The second place or silver category of Fluffy from the World Mascot Association goes to Heshy the Rabbi and Willie the Worm. Taslam Tigers Canoe Team, Israel. Shalom.
Langston hands the Rabbi mascot the silver trophy.
Congratulations, Heshy.
And now we'll go on to keep things moving to the first place or gold category.
No, I announced the gold category.
But you gave out the bronze.
I gave out the bronze. You gave out the silver, then I do the gold.
I'm getting a hand signal. I think they want me to continue.
No, I am the senior judge.
Just give it to her.
I'm the senior judge.
I will then surrender the mic to the lady.
Thank you. I wrote a book, and I got more applause than you did.
Please.
Well, it is my honor, ladies and gentlemen, to present the World Mascot Association's highest honor. The gold fluffy goes to...
Gabby opens the envelope.
Uh-oh. I could read it if you don't have it.
No, there. I can do that. Sid the Hedgehog, Willing and Rovers, South Croydon, Harry, Old England.
Sid does a celebratory hop. In the crowd, his dad and wife hug. The hedgehog mascot accepts his gold fluffy.
Congratulations, Sid. Congratulations. Congratulations to Sid the Hedgehog and all of our contestants. Thank you all so much for coming today. We really appreciate it. We'll see you here next year.
The winning mascots stand on a podium. Fade to black. 1 year later, at Mike and Mindy's house, the couple sits on the back porch.
There have been some big, big changes.
Good changes.
Good changes. The mascot competition was a tipping point for us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just a fiasco emotionally, professionally, personally. So, you know, we just took a long, hard look at our lives and said, it ain't working.
Yeah.
And what do we need to do? We need to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have. And I feel born anew.
That's nice.
Oh, well, I do. And, you know, it's springtime. Okay.
Mindy places a hand on his shoulder, and they lean toward each other. She angles her face so their lips don't touch.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. I guess we can't help ourselves.
We're those people now. The kind you're like, could they really be
enough,
that in love?
You know, and that really, I mean, that used to literally never happen.
No. I couldn't resist.
Part of what's helped, and you know, probably the biggest change is that we are no longer mascotting. The team was sold and we were let go.
Yeah.
And we get to spend way more time together.
Yeah.
We hired Courtney.
Yeah, you hired her.
Yeah, I did. She's our nanny.
Yeah.
Mike ogles Courtney, who picks up toys in the backyard. The young brunette smiles at him and he waves. His wife glares at him, then pokes his face.
I think you got something on your nose. Sorry about that. You got something on your nose, I
Where?
Think.
Here?
Yeah. Oh, you got it. Yeah. You're good. You're welcome.
Oh, sorry. It's hard to thank people when they hurt your face.
He's a little baby.
I'm a baby with an abusive mommy.
Bad baby.
Yeah. She has Munchausen syndrome. Help. Help. But, you know, and that's the kind of chemistry that we have now.
Yeah, it's
and
fun.
And it's fun.
A stately white building stands before a large lawn, Tulane home for retired mascots. Inside, Lacey and Cindy interact with elderly people.
After the competition, we both decided to volunteer at the retirement home for mascots. And I find it very rewarding. You know, I can use my dance, and I can help heal people, really. And I can move, and they can watch me move, and I see that they're moving through me and what I do. I find it so peaceful, and I love old people, so I always have. I love talking to them, and I love being just quiet with them. So I'm loving it.
And I feel so fulfilled too, because she's working on the insides and I'm working on people's outsides. I brought my nail art here to the seniors. And you know, a couple times a week I show up with my bottles of paint and my nail files and my brushes. And you know, these seniors have like gnarled up fingers like this, almost like a T-Rex. And they put their hands in my hands and they open them up.
It's been an emotional day because we lost someone today, Steve Reddington.
He was Randy the elephant. He was a great, great man.
At a funeral, an elephant mascot lies in a coffin, flanked by his peers, including a pink shark, a bull, and the top hat. The sisters sit in the pews.
You know, Randy will always be alive.
Because, you know, mascots, they don't die.
That's right, they don't.
They don't. They just hang in a closet.
Yeah, because it's an outfit.
It is. It's an outfit.
At Owen and Sarah's.
So much has changed since the competition. The biggest news being.
He points to a baby in Sarah's arms with a grin.
We done a little baby, didn't we?
Yeah.
We done a girl baby. The best sort of baby. Like you, yes.
Steady.
What else has happened? Oh, I sold the butchers. And Sarah and I now run a lovely little vegetarian cafe in Purley.
Posh.
Ooh, excuse me. Purley. Very posh, isn't it?
It's Purley posh.
I still eat meat. Obviously, I'm not mental. I love meat. But it's easier to prepare vegetables than meat. What else? Sadly, I've had to hand the mantle of Sid back to Dad. He's always loved it more than I did. And plus, I get out on top. Quit worrying ahead. Champion. Undefeated. Best mascot in the world. Ever. That year.
At home, Phil sits on his couch.
It's been exciting, you know, just to be celebrated and to be appreciated for excellence in my field. That's one piece of it. And then the other piece is that it has kicked open some doors for me. I got a really great job playing Jack the Plumber at trade shows for a company that makes high-end rivets. And it's enabled me to quit my job as a real estate appraiser. I make a third of the money, but I'm 50% happier, so you do the math.
He glances at his bronze trophy.
The gold would have been nice, but next year. I think a lot of people say the glass is half empty and the glass is half full. And for me, the glass is not half empty and the glass is not half full. To me, the glass is full. It's always full.
Elsewhere, Tommy looks into the camera.
Sadly, my career in sports mascotry was cut short due to an injury I sustained when a pro wrestler came home to find me involved in a very lewd act with his wife and his sister. But when I woke up in the emergency room, I thought to myself, Tommy, is this it? Is this your life? Are you at rock bottom? And that was when the nurse told me that I also had syphilis. Now, I didn't even know that you could still get syphilis, but you can. And while I'm at it, if you're a young lady between the age of 48 and 68 in Manitoba, Canada, you probably have it too. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your syphilis. But as I lay there in the hospital bed nursing my shattered ribs and my pulsating groin, I looked up at the television and Highway to Heaven was on. And Michael Landon stared back at me through the screen as if to say, Tommy, become a bloody monk. So I did. And it's going well. Strictly speaking, I took a vow of silence. But you know, fuck it.
In a church, Tommy walks down the aisle toward the altar in a brown monk's robe. He pumps his fist. Fade to black. Credits appear, directed by Christopher Guest. Written by Christopher Guest and Jim Pittock. Produced by Karen Murphy. Produced by Ted Sarandos. Executive producers Pauline Fisher, Sarah Bremner. Executive producers Ben Ormond, Jim Pittock. Co-producer Scott Robertson. Director of Photography, Christian Kachikas. Production designer, Richard Carter. Editor, Andrew Dickler. Costume designer, Christine Wada. Casting by David Rubin. Music by CJ Vanston. Choreographer, Ryan Heffington. Starring in alphabetical order. Gray letters fill the screen. A name among the characters turns blue. Carrie Aisley. It returns to gray as more names change color. Sarah Baker. Bob Balaban. Ed Begley Jr. Tom Bennett. Maria Blasucci, Jennifer Coolidge, Carrie Godleyman, Matt Greiser, Christopher Guest, John Michael Higgins, Michael Hitchcock, Don Lake, Jane Lynch, Christopher Moynihan, Chris O'Dowd, Jim Pittock, Parker Posey, Harry Shearer, Fred Willard, Zach Woods, Susan Yeagley. More credits roll. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture, including soundtrack, is prohibited and could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. The characters and events depicted in this film are fictitious. No depiction of actual persons or events is intended. Ra Ra Productions, LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of copyright and other laws. Copyright 2016, Ra Ra Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.